Earth, Sky.
Looking forward, the global economy has great potential, but also very high risks associated with the outlook. But I think the key aspect of the global economy is the underlying strength and resilience of the emerging markets. And as long as the emerging markets, such as India and China, continue to grow strongly and to close the gap in living standards between themselves and Europe and the United States, that process of catching up is likely to drive significant demand for energy over the next decade to two.
You're listening to Stephen Fries, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science, with a special program in partnership with Shell. Some companies and governments use scenarios to help with decision-making. Scenarios are essentially stories about how the world might unfold in the coming decades from existing patterns, new developments, and human choices. The recent global economic downturn and ongoing recovery gave Shell new input to its work in scenario planning. Stephen Fries has been chief economist for Shell since 2006. He spoke in early 2011 about the big picture of the global economy and energy with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar.
Mr. Fries, welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
Delighted to be here.
How stable do you think the current economic recovery is?
Well, we've had a very strong bounce back in the global economy in 2010, perhaps more strong than people would have anticipated a year ago. However, looking forward, there are significant risks on the horizon, examples of which we've already seen recently with the debt stresses in the euro area. But also, if you're looking more widely across the global economy, concerns about the sustainability of growth in China over the medium term, as well as political developments in the Middle East.
What does all of this mean for energy?
The implications for energy are actually quite mixed. What matters most for energy is the strength of growth in emerging markets, such as China, India, and indeed in the Middle East. It's in those countries where demand growth for energy is highest. And that's also the regions of the world where the recovery in economic activity has, in fact, been strongest. And so the parts of the global economy that have been relatively resilient to the stresses in the global economy are indeed those parts of the world that are contributing most to energy demand growth. And that's why we saw, even though the recovery in North America and Europe was very weak and hesitant by historical standards, that the energy markets firmed quite quickly during the course of 2010 as it became clear that the emerging markets, the main centers for demand growth in the energy system, were bouncing back quite strongly. And so the key implication here for energy markets is, as we go forward, as long as growth in emerging markets remains relatively resilient and robust, as we've seen throughout much of the past decade, then demand for energy is likely to remain quite firm and strong going forward. That also means that the volatility of energy prices is likely to be quite high as expectations or the outlook for that growth in the global economy is subject to new information and new assessments about the prospects going forward. So the energy markets and energy pricing is being very strongly driven by expectations of what's happening in emerging markets. What's happening in the advanced economies in Europe and North America also matters, but they're not at the center of strong energy demand growth at the moment.
And Mr. Fries, as you've described, some countries are doing better than others in this worldwide recession that we all find ourselves in. How has the recession change the outlook for CO2 emissions? And what more can be done to reduce these?
Well, the recession has had a very noticeable impact on CO2 emissions because the recession depressed the amount of economic activity in economies, particularly in Europe and North America, but also in the emerging markets in China and Asia, where growth slowed from its very brisk pace. That the recession has had the effect of depressing emissions and lowering them by the equivalent of about 1 to 2 years of economic growth. And so that's created a bit of breathing space, but only a temporary breathing space. As the recovery returns and economic activity picks up and exceeds previous levels, then emissions will be on their upward path again.
What's the most important thing you want people today to know about the global economy and the energy future?
The global economy has significant potential, but also significant risks associated with it. What we've seen in the current recovery is this very strong potential of the major emerging markets, such as China and India and Brazil. These countries have performed very strongly through the recession and have bounced back over the course of the past year. And looking forward, these countries are likely to be the drivers of global growth for the next decade to two. At the same time, we've seen heightened uncertainty and risks, particularly associated with the more developed countries in the United States, Europe, and Japan that are continue to loom on the horizon. But when you take an energy focus, it's really the countries in the emerging world that matter the most for the energy outlook. These countries are in the process of closing the gap in living standards with the richer countries in Europe and the United States. And as these countries close the gap in living standards, they're going to use more and more energy, and in fact, their growth is going to be very tightly linked to their use of additional energy. And so going forward, the emerging markets are going to put a stress and a strain on the global energy system that is going to have to be met with increased supplies of all forms of energy, including the traditional fossil fuels and renewable sources of energy. And to help meet these unfolding energy challenges, for example, Shell is in the process of stepping up its production of natural gas, which is the cleanest of fossil fuels that can be used in electric power generation. And at the same time, we're investing heavily in research and development on carbon dioxide capture and storage, which can help improve the environmental footprint of natural gas over the long run. And Shell is also investing heavily in biofuels, not only in sustainable first-generation biofuels such as sugarcane, but also in advanced biofuels. And by advanced biofuels, I mean those fuels based on feedstocks that don't compete with food and have a relatively limited impact on land use. And so Shell is working hard to meet these unfolding energy challenges that arise both from strong growth in emerging markets as well as from the climate challenges that we all face.
You've been listening to Stephen Fries, chief economist for Shell. He said Shell's work on scenario analysis suggests that the longer the delay in climate policy action, the more economic shocks become likely. Our thanks today to Shell, encouraging dialogue on the energy challenge. For this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. EarthSky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.